I? I just forgot.
Welcome to Your Destiny. Mr. Destiny is Robert Lee Camp, the author of Love Cards and Cards of Your Destiny. In the next 60 minutes, you can learn about your future, your relationships, and maybe even your special place in this world. Come prepared with questions for Robert, and bring your birthday, the magical key that unlocks the secrets of your destiny. If you have questions about somebody else, have their birthday ready as well. For more information, please visit 7thunders.com. That is the number 7 and the word thunders.com. And now, here's Robert.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp coming to you live from always sunny California. Today was a nice day. It's cooling off. Thank goodness by 7:30 p.m. here, it's starting to cool off. It stays hot all day. I mean, it doesn't get hot till about noon. Then it stays hot till about this time, then it cools off. And the nights are really cool, so it's just beautiful here in the morning and in the evening. Anyway, I hope it's really wonderful where you are. I know we have a lot of listeners in California, so you're all enjoying some really nice weather here. Today is July 30th, 2007. Today is a Jack of Hearts day. We're still in the sign of Leo. Last week we began, the sun just went into Leo from Cancer, and now we're full into Leo, and today is a Jack of Hearts Leo day. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger's birthday, actually. The governor of California. And there's lots of other people born on this day, too. Let's see, who do we have here? Hilary Swank, Jack of Hearts. Casey Stengel, the famous baseball manager. Lisa Kudrow from Friends. Yeah, that's interesting. Henry Ford, inventor of the Ford automobile. Lawrence Fishburne. Dean Cain. Kate Bush, Delta Burke. Wow, more than I thought. Peter Bogdanovich. It's a lot of people. This is it's interesting, you know, like Jack of Hearts is the card of sacrifice. No matter what you think of these people that I mentioned, if you are a personal friend of one of these people or any Jack of Hearts, there's somebody that will go out of their way. They'll do anything for you. They will be there for you when you need them most. Now, they may not be there the rest of the time. I remember I had a friend who was a Jack of Hearts, and we played pool together, but he never had time to really play pool because he was always helping somebody. And that's usually the case. Jack of Hearts are usually very busy saving somebody. It's called the Christ card. It's the Savior card or the card of sacrifice for love. It's a fixed card. Two, people who are Jack of Hearts, they don't change very easy. They're absolutely never going to change in the way that they approach love and relationships. Later on tonight, I'm going to talk a lot about the hearts themselves and the suit of love as they are and different things. I'm also going to talk a little bit about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. We're not going to talk too much about other presidential candidates, but we are going to talk about them. It's very interesting, though, how you can look into the cards and you can see the future of people. Now, for those of you who are studying the cards, one thing that you need to understand about the meaning of the cards that you see is that it's a very subjective system. It means that the cards that you see displayed there and somebody spread is what they are experiencing in their life. There is no objective card that always means the same thing. For example, the Nine of Hearts is a card that can mean divorce. The Nine of Hearts can also mean death. because it can mean saying goodbye to all your friends. So there is no one card in the deck that is the death card. Death can take many forms. Like for some people, a death would show up as a five of hearts, or a five of spades even, a journey somewhere. So you can't just look at any card and know, you have to know something about the person, because this card is telling you what they're going through personally, not like what's happening externally. It's what they're going through personally. Now let's talk a little bit about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Hold on, let me get Hillary's spreads back up here on the screen. So I'm using my software program because it makes it so easy just to look at, right into someone's destiny. And, you know, they're both running for the Democratic presidency. And, of course, they're going to have to first surmount and win the primary. So right now, the big thing for both of them is the primary. We have to look at that. And my understanding is that the primary occurs on October 20th of this year. So that date would be a date we would want to look at, because that's going to be significant for both Barack and for Hillary, because during at that time, the cards they have at that time may tell us what they're going to be going through, and we might be able to guess from that, looking at that, we might be able to guess like who may win if we take a look. Okay? Now, first thing I noticed, though, Hillary is a Nine of Hearts Scorpio. This makes her a Nine of Hearts. Her birthday is October 26, 1947. Her ruling cards are the Queen of Spades and also the King of Clubs. So these are the three cards. And Barack Obama is a Leo, Nine of Diamonds, born on August the 4th, 1961. He's 46 years old. She's 59 years old. Now, what's very interesting is that if you did a relationship reading between Barack and Hillary, Barack is Hillary's Saturn card. So that actually gives him a definite advantage in the election. Like I found in elections or other competitive events, if one person is the moon to the other person, the sun card person most likely will win in whatever they do. So, but in this case, there is no moon connection. What there is that he is Saturn to her, which means that he gets to see all of her faults, and he gets to be one of her biggest critics. So what's interesting about it, though, is also that they're both nines, and that they're both Democrats. You know, nines are all about saving other people, and the whole Democratic philosophy is more on that, like, level of, like, healthcare systems, bigger government to take care of people, and that kind of goes along with being a nine. So it's interesting that they're both nines and they're both Democrats. But Barack being Hillary's Saturn card is definitely, that could be enough to swing it in his favor, okay, just that alone. Like in debates and everything, the energy that's there would just tend to come forth. Other than that connection, they're actually very compatible. They have lots of several Venus connections and so forth. So there is, like, I'm sure they're civil with each other, but ultimately they're in a race, and one person will be the winner. And who will that be? It's hard to say. There are times when the cards are definitive. They are just definitive. You can look at someone's cards, and you can see exactly what's going to happen. But that's not the case in this particular case. But if I were to say which one of these two people have the best cards during the time of that primary, which occurs in Barack's Venus period and occurs in Hillary's Neptune period, okay, she's in Neptune. Well, she's got two tens in her Neptune period, and an Ace of Diamonds in her birth card. Those are very strong. Those are very strong. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, that is really very good. I don't know if that means she's going to win or not, but it certainly is in her favor. And she's got strong cards, like she has a Ten of Hearts environment this year in her ruling card spread. She's got, I think she has a Ten of Spades. Right, Ten of Spades at that time. These are all cards that can mean success. But it's Neptune, and we never know with Neptune. Neptune is hopes and fears. We can be hoping for something and or afraid of it happening, and it may or may not happen. So the rest remains to be seen. Overall, I think she has very good cards. I would say she definitely doesn't have bad cards. But when you look at her long range and other cards, her Pluto card is a Six of Spades, and her results a Nine of Spades. And those two cards are not so great. I mean, it could turn out to be a positive thing. The Nine of Spades can be interpreted as achieving a long-time dream. It can, especially in a positive position like a result card. But combined with the Six of Spades, it also can represent some heavy karma that she's going through. So something could come out between now and the election that would, you know, cause her to have less of a chance. Now, Barack is in his Venus period. He has a King of Diamonds and a Nine of Spades. So, look, they both have Nine of Spades, and they're both in pretty good positions. So it's really difficult to say, you know, if Barack will win, because both have Nine of Spades, which could both be interpreted as achieving a long-time vision or dream. Barack's long-range card this year is an Ace of Spades. He has a Five of Diamonds result and a Five of Diamonds environment. Now, those two cards, either one of those two, and both, since they're both the same, they could say, oh, he's moving to a new house, like the White House, sometime. So, we'll have to see how this all plays out. It's certainly, card-wise, there's certainly no clear winner here. And I've only talked about these two because, honestly, I don't think anybody else has a chance to win this election. But I will look at the Republican nominees and talk about them, too. I think Giuliani is ahead in all the polls at this point. So we'll have to see. One person recently asked me a question about the weekly reading. And for those of you who don't know, I want to just briefly mention something about your weekly readings. Now, the weekly reading in my book is something that if you do it, it will teach you the meaning of the cards faster than anything else you can do. And all you got to do is just do it once a week and then keep an eye on what happens during the week and compare that to your cards to learn about the meaning of the cards through your own direct experience. There's no better way to learn something than through our direct experience. So the weekly reading is really great. Now, in the book, it says to do the weekly reading on Sunday and have it start on Monday. However, I've amended that in my teachings, and now I have you do the reading the day before the day of the week you were born. So if you don't know what day of the week you were born, you can go to my website. And everybody listening tonight, if you don't know what your card is, please go to my website right now and look up your card by doing the free destiny reading and put your birthday in there. Because we're going to talk about your suit here in a minute. But anyway, you can go on the website and do this reading. If you do the daily card reading, it'll tell you what day of the week you're in. Like, are you in a Mercury, a Venus, a Mars, Jupiter? And the Mercury day of the week, whatever day that falls on for you, is the day of the week that you were born. And so you can start doing your readings to coincide with that day so that they begin on your Mercury day. So if you were born on Sunday, on Monday, you would do your reading on Sunday, and then you would start the reading. The reading would start from Monday. If you were born on Friday, like I am, you would do the reading Thursday night or Thursday sometime, and the reading would start on Fridays. So the reading starts on the day of the week you were born. And this aligns the reading more with your personal planetary days because we do experience things, and I've talked about this many times on the show. We really do experience a different energy on each day of the week, our personal day of the week. If you do this destiny reading on my website, and the website, by the way, is 7thunders.com, the number 7, not the word 7, the number 7 and the word thunders.com. if you go there and do your weekly daily reading, it'll tell you if you're Mercury, Venus, and it'll give you a little bit of information about that day of the week, just a short description. For example, Uranus day of the week is a day that unexpected things will happen to you. And mine always falls on a Wednesday. So I've learned, never be attached to anything on Wednesdays. If I'm not attached, if I'm just open to whatever happens, good things happen. But if I get really attached, things happen that I don't like. So that's the day you can't be attached, is your personal Uranus day. So would you like to know what day of the week that is? Go to my website and figure that out. It'll show you. Eventually, you will have a Uranus day. It follows your Saturn day, whatever that day of the week is. Okay? All right, great. So now we've covered all that. Oops, I just hit the wrong button on my computer here. Let me go back to where I was. I might have to look this up. Oh, here it is. Yes. Okay. So what I want to talk about tonight is the suits of our birth cards and our ruling cards, really, but mostly the birth cards. Okay. Now, in order to participate in this discussion, you need to know what your birth card is. If you don't know, please go to my website, www.7thunders.com, and look up your birth card, or have your friend who has my book tell you what it is. So let's talk about the different suits, starting with hearts, okay? Hearts represents childhood. It's the first period of our life. It's the spring season, the season of spring in the year. And it's during the spring season that a lot of animals give birth. And then they have all the little cubs and all the little birdies and so forth happening, okay? If you are a heart card, or anybody who's a heart card, your whole thing is about your childhood. You are a child at heart. All hearts are children on some level. Hearts, it's the first suit, so you could say, well, they're the least powerful of the suits. And they are the least powerful in some ways, but they're not, but their power is very, very important because, see, we have within us, no matter what suit you are, you have hearts, clubs, diamonds, and spades energy within you, as I will explain here as we get into this. The hearts pertains to the inner child inside of us. If your childhood was very difficult, if there were a lot of problems like my childhood was, where there was a lot of fighting or maybe there was alcoholism or other things that happened, deaths in the family, then the inner child in you will be somewhat wounded, see? So, and you will need to heal that inner child. And hearts is all about healing and interacting with the inner child. People who are hearts, they love children. They love children. They love babies. They just can't get enough of them. And I never knew this until about 8 years ago, but heart people, because I never really knew a lot of hearts that well, but I've met a lot of them in the last 10 years. Hearts are all children, and they can throw such a tantrum, it'll blow your mind. I had no idea that that could happen. I didn't realize that adult people would act out just like a young child when they get really, really upset. They just, like, blow their cool and just totally let it out and scream and or whatever. But I've seen it happen now a couple times, and now I know what hearts are about. I mean, that's part of who they are, okay? So if we had a good childhood, the heart part of us is strong, and it's a foundation for the rest of our life. So the heart's area, in terms of evolution, is extremely important. It's like the foundation of everything else that we can build our life on. If our inner child is really wounded, that could prevent us from ever getting a good job because we'd have self-doubts about our own worth. It could prevent us from ever having a good relationship for the same reason, or because we're really needy or have aggression or anger left over, any of those things. So this is where the hearts come into play. And hearts are about feelings. Hearts are about the emotions. My best friend is a Cancer King of Hearts. You know, that's a lot of heart energy because Cancers are also about feelings. So he's a King of Hearts, and his ruling card is another heart, a Two of Hearts. So here you have a person, and when he and I talk, I'm a Cancer too, we really relate to each other on the feeling level. This is what hearts, even though I'm not a heart, I'm a Cancer, so I have that within me. I do have a heart as a karma card, though, by the way. So that is the thing about hearts. Now, when you reach a certain stage in your development as a child, you move on from being a heart into being a club, and that's when you start going to school. Okay, you start going to school in that station, and then what you're doing is you're starting to really be exposed to a lot of knowledge. At the time that you begin going to school, it's all about having knowledge in your life, more knowledge, good knowledge, going to school, learning things, communication, how to write. One of the first things you learn in school is how to write. It's all clubs. And clubs represents the summer of life. It's represented, the club is the symbol of the clover, which is growing in the summertime. And it represents the school's adolescent years and the school years of our life. And the clubs is all about thoughts, which in turn can be translated into ideas, beliefs, truths, mental headsets, like mental attitudes about things. This is where clubs. Now, clubs is important. Everything in life has its place of extreme importance. The mind is the number one creator of our life. It is where we sow the seeds, we plant the seeds to create what we have in our life, or going to have in our life. If you look around you and look at all the things in your, like I'm looking at my desk here, which is quite messy at the moment, but I see books and I see, you know, pens, and I see, you know, office supplies, and I see a computer screen, I see a mouse, and I look down and see the rug, whatever. Everything here started out as a thought form by me. I had the idea. I mean, I see, like, I have an 8-ball. I have a magic 8-ball on my desk, which I love to play with sometimes. I'll just ask a question and see what pops up. And I had the idea for that before I got one, you know. So I look at everything on my desk, and I see the lamp on my desk. It's a special kind of lamp. It actually has sunlight, you know, spectrum light, and, you know, it fits the specification. This is all the domain of clubs. Clubs is a specification. Clubs, people make the specifiers. That's why they're very detail-oriented. They understand that details are important. They understand that communication of details is important. They're watching. They're keeping note of little things. I'm not a club, but I have Virgo rising. I notice things. I'm very attentive to little details in the way that a club is, but they're actually more detailed than I am as a general rule. And it's not uncommon to see some Virgo planets in the charts of club people, Virgo and Gemini, because those two signs are the signs that rule details. They're the signs ruled by Mercury, and Mercury is the planet that basically rules over the suit of clubs, communication. Now, with the mind, you can control the emotions. So in a certain sense, the clubs are more powerful than the hearts, because with your mind, with thinking and believing certain things, you can cause your feelings to change. A lot of people live their life as if their feelings are what makes them do what they do. Oh, I feel like it, I don't feel like it. I didn't feel like it. But that's not really true. It's the beliefs that we have about life that actually generate those feelings, if we examine it carefully. So in that scenario, clubs are more powerful than hearts because the thoughts of a person can influence and dominate over the feelings of a person. Now we move on to diamonds. And diamonds are all about value. Diamonds are the fall season. And it's the diamond period of life probably begins around age 20. I can't say exactly. Maybe as late as 25 or even later. But it's when we're actually accumulating value. And we're learning about our value. First thing we do is go out and get a job. And when we do, we find out what our worth is. We get paid. We get in the marketplace. We're not in school anymore. We're now out there making money. And we're finding out what our worth is based on what we know or what our abilities are. This is a diamond period of life. Now, I want to mention, go back, because I forgot something about clubs. Clubs are always adolescent. No matter how old a club is, they're very youthful. In the same way that hearts are always youthful. Hearts, no matter how old they are, they're children inside. And clubs, no matter how old they are, they're always youthful and always curious about new things. They're like a person that's 18 years old going to high school or college. They're curious about lots of things in life, always reading, always interested in new things. Okay? But diamonds are the adults of the deck. They're the adults. They really usually relate more to older, to people that are adults, even when they're young. Like a diamond child will hang out with kids older than them, typically. Okay? But what's really important about a diamonds is it's about values and about desire. In other words, it's about wanting something and having something. Diamonds are all about the value of everything. I want something because it's worth something. I want this relationship because it's worth something to me. I'm worth more if I have this. What am I worth? What is it worth? That's what a diamond is always looking to find out. I am a birth card and ruling card diamond. Both of mine are diamonds. So I see that it's ridiculous sometimes how I look at everything. It's all about what it's worth to me. Everything is about what it's worth to me. I'm always sizing of everything. And, you know, diamonds don't really care about the details in life all that much because they're interested in the result more than they are the process. Clubs might be more process-oriented in a certain way, where diamonds are after the thing that the information can give you. They're not interested in the information itself. They're interested in what can I get from that information? What can that information do for me? That's why when I wrote my books, The Cards, Your Destiny, and Love Cards, I brought out the value of the system. People can say, well, I love, Robert Lee Camp loves the card system. Yes, I do, absolutely. But I love what it really can do for people. I love what it has done for me. I love what it does for you and for other people. It thrills me to see the value that comes out of it. If it didn't have that, if it didn't produce results like that, as a diamond, I would not have any interest in it. But from the very moment I was introduced to this system, it caught my attention right away. I got results from it. I got value from it right away because it cleared up and helped me to see myself in a way I'd never seen myself before. And diamonds, we are searching for the worth. Now, because we don't really need the information so much, diamonds is about the value of things and the desire, and it's a higher evolutionary force than clubs, which is about the idea and communication and specification. Because a diamond will say, well, yeah, information may get me to what I want, but there may be other ways I can get to where I want. So that they're not necessarily, a diamond person is not as influenced by the detail orientation of things as a club will be. You know, clubs are always asking why. You know, why this, why that, and they always have reasons for everything. They got a reason for everything. They've figured it out. A club person generally is a whole catalog of everything that is and what the reason for it is. Everything that exists and what's the reason. The diamonds don't really need a reason. If we want something, that's all we need. That's the only reason we need. Very interesting when you look at these distinctions you know. And I've always been attracted to club partners. Almost all my partners have been clubs. And, you know, we get along. We are different, and there's compatibility there, but we're different in that way. And I bring to the relationship a lot of emphasis of value, where they bring into the relationship a lot of emphasis on details, truth, and this sort of thing. It's a nice little balance, you might say. Now, finally, you have the spades. And spades represents the winter season, the last season of life, the last season of the year. It is the will. It's the will, the power of the will, and the will to live, the will to work, and the will to live. And it's also about wisdom, of course. It represents the last years of our life, the spades period of life. And hopefully by that age, which I don't know when it starts, perhaps it could start in the 50s, probably, for most people. Hopefully by that time, we have accumulated a lot of wisdom from our experience. So spades is about experience. You know, I've talked about this before, but if you are applying for a job and the person interviewing you is a spade, they're only going to want to know your experience. They're not going to be interested in your education. You could say, well, I went to school for underwater basket weaving. What they'll say to you, but have you ever woven an underwater basket? That's what they want to know. How many have you actually done? That's what a spade, where they come from. As you know, they're all about work. They're kind of Capricorn in nature because they're very focused on what they're doing in the external world, which is what Capricorns are. It's considered the most spiritual suit, and yet most spades people ignore the spiritual part because they get so identified with being such a worker that they rarely take time to away from all their doing. They're the suit of doing. They rather take time away from that to really explore their inner self. Now, this is not true of all of them, of course. There's many spade people that are very spiritual. But as a general rule, they ignore their spirituality in favor of all the work that they want to accomplish. Now, spades, because it's the will, they are immune to all the other suits. Like, they can't be influenced. Like, a heart could make you feel guilty or try to control you. Like, if a heart person was out to try to control you in some way, they would probably want to try to attack your inner child, okay? A clubs would try to pick apart something wrong with you and get you to feel, to change, or to do your best by, you know, saying things to you, communicating things. A diamond would try to bribe you. But a spade is immune to all that because they are the suit of the will, and they've evolved past that in a certain sense. Okay? So from that point of view, the spade suit is considered the highest of the four suits. And when you have a card in your spread that's a spade, it's the most significant card because spades represent what we do. And no matter what you think about your life, the things that you do in life are really what define you. It's not really what you say or think so much. What you say and think is the clubs. It's not what you own so much or what you want so much as in diamonds. It's not what you feel that defines you. It's what you actually do every day. And spades know this. Now, just to complete this discussion, a lot of people will get the mistake that I'm saying that if you're a spade suit, you're more evolved than a diamond. And if you're a diamond, you're more evolved than a club. And if you're a club, you're more evolved than a heart. Therefore, hearts are the least evolved suit and so forth. That is not true at all. Because it doesn't matter what suit your birth card is, you are as evolved as you are. Irrespective of that, the card that we choose to be in this lifetime is chosen because it has the right combination of things where we will meet our karma in the best way possible. for this lifetime. So every lifetime we exhaust some karma and we accumulate some new karma. So then you've passed on, and there's a period between this life, the one you just ended, and the next one, and you will reevaluate your whole life, and you will see what is the remaining outstanding karma that needs to be experienced by this soul, and you will choose this, though you won't remember this once you're reborn. We don't remember our past, and we don't remember that time in between lives when we make these kind of decisions. So your card is neither, because you're a heart, it doesn't mean you're less evolved, and because you're a spade, it doesn't mean you're more evolved. None of that is actually true. You are evolved or not, depending on who you are as an individual, not on your card or your astrology chart. Okay, there's no way to look at somebody's chart and say, this is a more evolved person. There's no way to look at a card and say, this is a more evolved person. Doesn't work that way. So I just want to make sure I said it, because people will get that mistaken impression from what I'm saying here. Okay, so I just want you to know, everybody, we have, I know for certain that lines 2 and lines 3 are available tonight. Line 4 is being used somewhat, so, but it might be available later. Now is the time to call in. We're going to start taking call-in listeners. We're going to have a short break. I'm going to ask Seth, who's the gracious host of the show, to play the song Om Namah Shivaya off my new CD, Bhakti Rock. Hope you guys enjoy the song. And when we come back, if we have some callers, we're going to take some calls. So now is the time to call. Call on line 2 and line 3 on the BBSRadio.com website. We'll be back in about 3 to 4 minutes. Welcome back, people. I'm sorry for the delay. There was some technical difficulty. They weren't able to hear me on the phone. It wasn't my phone. It was something there on the phone end. But we're back now, and we have a caller We have Bryce on line three. Bryce, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how's it going, Bryce?
Good evening, Robert. I'm doing well, thank you.
I think we've talked before.
Yes, I have called in before, and I listen almost every week to your show, and I read my card every day on your website.
Good. So what can I do for you this evening?
Robert, I'm wondering if you can help me with a relationship challenge that I'm currently facing.
Sure.
And it's another nine of diamonds. Mm-hmm. That I've been in a relationship with for the last 6 months. What I've noticed is we're not able to converse very well at all right now.
What's the birthday of the other person?
May the 10th, 1962.
Okay, so this person is a two of clubs ruling card.
Yeah.
And you're a four of diamonds ruling card.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I noticed that there's a lot of two of clubs going on right now for... have been going on between us, or for him and for me. And
well, you know, the thing about it is, Bryce, is that nine of diamonds come in all kinds of flavors.
And, yeah.
Okay. Some nine of diamonds are very bitter.
Yeah.
You know, they're not happy. Their life has been a series of losses. And if a nine of diamonds to a club is unhappy, they're going to obviously go to the negative side of the two of clubs, which is arguing.
Right.
And that's your long-range card this year is the two of clubs.
That's right.
So here you have this person in your life being the dominant influence in your life this particular year.
Right.
So, I mean, it's you two, you can't help but realize that the two of you are mirrors of each other, however.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, neither one of you, like, you might have taken more of the high side of your card, okay? But the fact that you attracted another nine of diamonds into your life tells me that there was something that you needed to embrace about yourself that you haven't yet.
Yeah.
You understand that he is going to exemplify for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that he does, and I see that like the very worst parts of my argumentative side have been brought out.
Yeah, and it's not even your nature to be argumentative like it is his.
Not nearly.
Because you're a four diamonds ruler, he's a two of clubs ruler.
Yeah.
I mean, the connections between you are actually really good, but the only problem here is that you're the same birth card, and until each of you realizes that you have met your mirror, see, and this is such a hard thing to do. This is like the hardest. This is why relationships are so hard. Even if you're not the same birth card, we always have our mirror in some way in a relationship. But when you are the same birth card, you are with a person who has got a very, very similar karmic pattern as your own, and they're going to be playing it out one way, and you're going to be playing it out another. And the lesson here for both of you is, can you embrace the other way of playing it out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can look at him and say, yes, I can be just like that. I choose not to, but that's what I can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can both look at each other and say that to each other, really, then you guys could actually get along really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't be resistant to it, you know. I mean, every card has a good and a bad side. Every single card in the deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a certain card and I'm trying to be the goody-goody two-shoes of that card, I'm trying so hard not to be the bad version of that card,
mm-hmm.
and then I meet another card, same person with the same card, and they're acting out all the things I'm trying so hard not to be, I'm going to have a hard time with that. And my initial thing would be to blame them and judge them and, you know, make them the problem. Right? That's what I would do, naturally.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you guys have that dynamic going on. I can't see why how you couldn't, you know?
Yeah.
It would be almost amazing if you didn't have that going on.
And I believe that right now his 3 months period is two of clubs ruling as well.
Oh, you have the Two of Clubs in this period right now?
I think so, and I believe that I've just come out of it. I'm in Queen of Spades right now.
You had a King of Clubs before. You didn't have a Two of Clubs period. You have a Two of Clubs for the entire year.
Right.
It's your long-range card.
Yes, yes, I know it's my long-range card.
Yeah. So, has this been helpful, what I said so far?
It is. It is. I get. Well, it's affirming what I guess I know or understand intuitively, and I guess I'm really wondering.
He's going to have more fears of abandonment. He's going to have more fears of abandonment that is going to cause him to then become critical.
Yeah, he's pulled away almost completely.
Uh huh.
And but there's still a little bit of the door open, and I.
Well, you might be. It's possible you could be letting this go. There could be somebody else coming your way. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Six of Hearts environment this year. That's a very, very good influence for having somebody come in who you are destined to meet. And the year
I had this very, very strong feeling about this person. I still really do, Robert, that maybe that he is this person.
Well, then maybe he is. But, you know, it takes two to feel that way. It has to be
right.
Both of you feeling that way. Are
right.
you guys doing any counseling together?
No, not yet.
Well, that's what you need to do right away.
Right.
You need to insist on that and make that a prerequisite of having a relationship. Because you guys aren't going to get too much farther if you don't. I guarantee it.
Okay.
You need to have somebody there to help you guys communicate.
Okay.
I'm sure there's actually a deep love there, and a counselor could help you get back to that and see that the things that you're miscommunicating are just misunderstandings.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably both really want each other to be happy.
Yeah,
you know?
We do.
So
we do.
That's my recommendation.
Okay.
All right.
I want to... Pardon me?
Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I want to thank you for our last conversation when I did call in much earlier in the year.
Uh-huh.
And you had told me that I really needed to look at my work environment in terms of working with a lot of other people rather than working on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed this advice, and everything is really blooming work-wise.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Thanks for telling
yeah.
me.
So I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bryce.
Yeah.
I appreciate you saying that. Okay, well, thank you for calling tonight.
Thanks for your advice, Robert.
All right, good luck, Bryce.
Good night.
All right, good night. Okay, I think if I'm not mistaken, that was a line, let's see, there should be at least one line open right now, but I think Joan is here on line number two. Is Joan still here with us? She was calling about her son, Michael. Seth, do we have anybody on line two? I'm not sure if Seth can even hear me right now. You know, it's pretty rare when you meet somebody who you have, I mean, relationship, two people in a relationship have the same exact card. Hold on one second. Oh, okay. We have a new caller. And line, I don't know which lines are open. I'll find out from Seth in a few minutes when I take the next break. But I know there's at least one line open. So whoever's next, Seth, just put them through for the call. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Trish?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Trish. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you really born on December 30th?
Yeah.
1951? Same birthday as Tiger Woods.
Rudyard Kipling, too, right?
I wouldn't be surprised. Bo Diddley. You ever heard
I
of
listened to your talk tonight about the hearts, and I thought, well, gee, I'm a Capricorn heart. I guess all the hearts are not Capricorns, right?
No. There actually are not that many hearts of a Capricorn.
I guess my question for you is I have a lot of relationship problems. mostly with intimate relationships with men.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to get more insight into that and get some ideas from you about who would be a good partner for me, like what suit, what card.
Well,
what card.
You know, I could tell you, you know, cards that you'd be compatible with, but it wouldn't really matter because you probably wouldn't be attracted to those kind of people, if I told you who they were.
Uh-huh.
It's much more powerful, Trish, for you to, you know, look at what you are. You know, what is it that you bring to the relationship that creates problems? I'm not saying it's all your fault, by the way, but, you know, if you have this pattern of having these consistent problems of one kind or another, it's not going to help you just to find the right birthday.
I don't pick the right one.
It's not about picking the right one. It's about being the right one. Now, I know that sounds trite to say that, but it really does. It's true. It's really the truth. I mean, I've discovered it for myself. Your card is a problem card for relationships, okay? There's no doubt about it. My card is a problem card for relationships. There's a lot of birthdays that have major relationship issues. Your issues would be uncertainty, one of your big issues. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
Uncertainty. That can take a lot of forms, you know, like...